Hi, and welcome to the study of God's Word from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. Somebody said a while ago, there are a lot of people here I didn't know. I said, they come to the first service. I think it's going to be a good thing for our church family to meet together again and to be together again. And I know that it may get a little crowded, but we like close fellowship, do we not? Amen. Amen. Okay, good. We welcome again those of you who are visiting with us today. I know some of you are here because it is a special day for a family member. You're here to encourage and support them as they go through a very important part of ministry in our church, and that is through ordination. Today is a very special day for our church. It's a special day for the families of our church, for these five men that will be ordained this morning, as well as for their families. We recognize this morning these whom the Holy Spirit has set aside and has equipped to serve as deacons in our fellowship. We celebrate with them, and we express our gratitude to the Lord Jesus for calling these men to be servant leaders in our church. In a day when churches are growing further and further and further away from the biblical model of churchmanship and church leadership, we hold to what the Bible says in this fellowship. We hold to the truth of God's word as it gives us guidance to conduct our ministries, to do what it is that God has called us to do, to honor the name of Jesus Christ, and to serve him to the full capacity that he has gifted us through his Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 6, I would have you turn your Bibles with me there, please. Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7 is our text this morning, as we consider the ministry of the deacon. Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. It's good to hear the pages turning. That's great. Love to hear it. Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. Now in those days, when the number of the disciples were multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And the saying pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. Then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. Now, from the text this morning, we learn that there was a crisis in the first Christian church that was located in Jerusalem. And the crisis was simply this, that so many people were being saved, so many people were coming to faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that the numbers continued to grow exponentially. On the first day, the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, when the Christian church was born, the Holy Spirit moved upon those who were gathered in the upper room, 120 of them, as they fasted and prayed for the Spirit of God to come. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and they went out into the streets of Jerusalem, where a great multitude, thousands upon thousands of individuals, had gathered for the Feast of Passover, for the Feast of Pentecost. And they began to share, they began to minister the Word of God. They began to share with people Jesus Christ. Peter stood up, and he began to preach concerning Jesus Christ. the history of the promise of God's Messiah and how that promise was fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. And as he preached, the Holy Spirit began to convict individuals of their sin. And they asked Peter, "What must we do to be saved?" And Peter said, "Repent of your sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ." And that day, 3,000 people were saved. 3,000 people were born into the kingdom of God that day. And as you read in Acts chapter 2, as the disciples continued to minister and as they discipled those new believers in the faith, as more and more of them began to grow in their faith in Jesus Christ, they began to witness to other individuals. And the Bible says that God was adding daily those who were being saved. So the church in Jerusalem began to grow and it began to develop beyond all imagination. It was growing so rapidly that the pastors of the church, who were the original 12 minus Judas Iscariot, but was replaced by Matthias, the 12 pastors of the church couldn't keep up with the growth. There were far too many people to minister to than they had time to minister to. And so, as this crisis was brought to their attention, they said, "Pick out 7 men. Choose 7 individuals who were called out from the whole church and give them the responsibility to minister to the need." Now, the particular need at that point in time was that certain widows who were of the Greek descent, they were not Hebrew women, they were Greek women. In the Bible, it calls them Hellenists. That means that they were of the Greek culture. They were being overlooked or neglected in the daily distribution of food and other ministries, other services that the church provided. And so they made this known to the apostles. And the apostles said, "You know, our primary responsibility is to pray and to minister the word of God. We've got to have some other guys who will go out and minister to this particular need to make sure that no one is being overlooked and no one is being neglected in the ministry of the church." And so 7 individuals were given the responsibility to take care of that particular need. These men are commonly called the first deacons of the church, but in fact they were a prototype. Later on, under the ministry of Paul, the deacon ministry becomes an official ministry of the church. But here in Acts chapter 6, it is the beginning of the development of this particular ministry. They were called diakonos. They were called servants in the church, because that's what the word deacon means. It comes from the Greek diakonos, and it means to serve. In the noun, it is a servant. These were the first official servants of the Lord in the church. Now, in some churches today, they have no deacons. They don't even recognize deacons. In many modern churches, deacons are not an office or an officer in the church. In other churches where they have deacons, deacons will serve as kind of a governing board in the church. All business matters go through the deacon council. They hire and they fire the staff in the church. They control the church's money and resources. They set policies and practices and procedures in the church. They are like a governing board. In other churches, deacons are like figureheads. They don't really do anything, but they're honored by the church as being special guys for whatever reason. And in many instances, they don't attend church. They don't attend Bible studies. They don't come to prayer meeting. They don't do anything. But they're acknowledged by the church as being somehow, some way honored. In this church, deacons are servants. They're not a governing board. They're not power brokers. They're not figureheads. They're called to serve God and His church. Now, they have two functions in this fellowship. They have two functions. Their primary function is to care for the physical needs of the church membership. They care for the physical needs of the church membership. The pastors of the church care for the spiritual needs. The deacons are the ones selected by the church to care for the physical needs of the church membership. And I want to be very specific about that, because sometimes we get confused between what a need is and what a want is. Deacons are called not to care for everything that we want. They're called to care for the things that we need. That's what they did in Acts chapter 6. That's what they do here. The second responsibility that deacons have is a secondary responsibility, and that is to free up the pastors to do their work. And the primary work of the pastors of the church are to pray and to minister the word of God. The pastors of the church are not responsible for mowing lawns. They're not responsible for hanging doors. They're not responsible for painting walls, mending carpets. They're not responsible for setting screens, working on cars. They're not responsible for fixing motors. They're responsible to do two things: to pray and to minister the word of God. When deacons do their job in ministering to the physical needs of the church, they free up the pastors to do their job, and that is to minister to the spiritual needs of the church through prayer and through the ministry of the word. With over 450 active members in our church, you can understand how difficult it would be for the pastors of the church to keep up with all of the needs of the families, plus do the work of prayer and Bible study and preaching and teaching. And yet, again, prayer and ministry of the Word of God is our primary responsibility, while the ministry of the physical needs of the membership is the deacons' primary responsibilities. Deacons are to care for the church families. Each family that joins our church is assigned a deacon who is given the responsibility to minister to that family. He can minister individually. And what we do in our fellowship here is we call not only the men to serve, but their wives come with them in service. And so quite often, as the deacons minister, they will minister as a team with their wife. But they can minister to their families individually, or they can team up with other deacons or with pastors if the need requires it. Now, I want you to note in Acts chapter 6 how our deacons are elected, how they're set aside, how they're acknowledged, how they're recognized. And we take this right out of the Bible. Pretty much everything we do here in the church, we strive to follow the biblical pattern. And so when it comes to the matters of ministry, with deacon ministries, we want to take the Word of God and we want to see what the Word of God has to say about it, and then we want to pattern our ministry after that. So in Acts chapter 6, you'll notice that first of all, the pastors of the church said to the disciples, "You seek out seven men who will be given the responsibility to take care of this matter." They're chosen by the church membership. They were selected from the members of the church by the members of the church. Secondly, these men were to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Now, I don't know about these individuals. I don't know what they were involved with in secular society. I don't know what their businesses were. The Bible doesn't really say. But I would venture to say that not only were these individuals gifted with the power of the Holy Spirit, they were also gifted with certain abilities to be able to carry on the work that they were assigned in such a way that the crisis would be resolved. They were consecrated by the Holy Spirit, empowered by the Holy Spirit, gifted by the Holy Spirit to do the work that was needed in the church. And then thirdly, they were confirmed by the church leadership. These men, you'll notice in verse 5 and 6, these men came before the elders of the church, before the pastors of the church, and they were acknowledged as being men of integrity, men with a good report, men of abilities and spiritual capabilities. They laid hands on them, they prayed for them, they gave them the responsibility and sent them out to do the work that was required in the church. So they were confirmed by the church leadership. They were chosen by the membership, consecrated by the Holy Spirit, and confirmed by the leadership of the church. Today we are following that same pattern. The five who will stand before you have been chosen by you They have been elected and equipped and empowered by the Holy Spirit, and they have been confirmed by the leadership of the church. And now we present them to you for ordination as official deacons of the fellowship. But before we present them, I want to outline to you what their responsibilities are. In this church, in this fellowship, we strive to follow the Deacon Family Ministry plan that concentrates on eight areas or eight activities that these deacons will focus in on. First of all, they focus in on visitation. It is important that the church membership know who the deacons are. And it's important that the deacons know who the church members are. Now, in larger churches, in mega churches where they have thousands of members, I would say it'd be impossible even for the pastors to know who all of the members are. But in a church our size of 450 to 500 active members, it's not all that difficult, especially when these deacons are assigned a certain number of families. They may not know everybody in the church, but they know who their families are. Visitation helps us to become better acquainted with the families of the church, and it also helps the families of the church become better acquainted with their deacons. It's good to see your deacon at church, and your deacon should be at church. You should see him at church, and he should see you at church. But it's also important for your deacon to visit with you outside the church and to visit with you in your home or maybe around a breakfast table down at any one of a number of the restaurants or lunch or dinner, but a face-to-face meeting where you can become acquainted with those individuals who have the responsibility to care for your needs. Secondly, their responsibility is in the area of spiritual witnessing. We are a Christian church, and our deacons are Christian men. And their concern is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with you and with any family members that you might have who don't know Jesus as personal Lord and Savior. They want to be able to share their faith with the families that have been assigned to them. Thirdly, fellowship. Deacon ministry is not just about resolving problems or issues or burdens. We want to fellowship with you. We want to celebrate events in your life. We want to celebrate the birth of a child or a grandchild or a great-grandchild. We want to rejoice with you at your graduation or the graduation of a family member. We want to honor you in your retirement or in your promotion at work. We want to be more than leaders in the church. We want to be friends. We want to be servants, but we also want to celebrate with you those occasions, those anniversaries and births and so on and so forth that bring you great joy, we want to share in that joy with you. Four, support. Our deacons are men that you can look to for help and for support. They have experienced trials and heartaches and disappointments and frustrations just like you do. They have walked the way of Christian service. They have walked down the pathway of trials and temptations. They have met with frustrations and hardships and heartbreak. They know what it's like to suffer. They know what it's like to rejoice. They know what it's like to face failure. They know what it's like to experience success. They want to stand with you. They want to pray with you and for you. They want to counsel with you and work with you through times of difficulty as well as times to celebrate your victories. So they're here to support you. Five, they're here to dispense information. There are a lot of things that go on in the church that folks don't understand. There are some things that go on in the church that even I don't understand. But our deacons are here to help you understand what it is that we do, why we do it. We do things here differently than other churches may do. Not every Baptist church is the same. What we do here at First Baptist in Winton may be different than what they do in First Baptist Merced or First Baptist Atwater or First Baptist Timbuktu. And we have a number of people who come to our fellowship who are not necessarily Baptist in their background. They come from Methodist, they come from Catholic, they come from Pentecostal, they come from Lutheran. They come from all different kinds of religious backgrounds. And so when they come to the church here, there are things that we do that they don't necessarily understand. Our deacons help us to understand what it is that we do and why we do it. And they'll inform you on those things if you'll just simply ask them. Assimilation. It is our concern to help you find your niche in the fellowship, in the body of Christ, in this local church family. God has brought you here for a purpose. The deacons will help you to discover what that purpose is and your place in this particular fellowship, as well as to assist you in participating in the life of the church. Ministry. Every Christian has been given a spiritual ability, or more than one spiritual ability, by the Holy Spirit of God to serve the Lord in this church. We call those gifts of ministry, and every Christian has at least one. You may not know what your spiritual gift is, but our deacons will help you to discover those spiritual gifts and then encourage you to become active in that area of ministry. And many times we'll stand along beside you as you get involved in that particular area of ministry. And then finally, prayer. This church believes in prayer. Our deacons believe in prayer. We pray together before and during each service. We pray in our home Bible study groups. We want to be prayer warriors with you as well as prayer warriors for you. Give us the opportunity to come alongside you and to lift you up and to lift up your family's needs, your concerns, your victories, your celebrations, your joys, as well as your frustrations and your failures before the Lord. Those are the eight activities that our deacons focus in on. Now, they certainly do other things in the church, but these eight activities are their primary concern as they carry out the Deacon Family Ministry Plan, which is the primary vehicle for ministry of deacons in this particular fellowship. Now, in this church, we have three classifications of deacons: advisory, active, and associate. As I call their names, I would like for the deacons to come and to stand here with me. And if your wife is here with you, you bring your wife along with you. I'm going to ask my wife, Nancy, to come and stand with me since I am the pastor of the church. She serves right alongside me in the ministries that we have been entrusted here in this local fellowship. Advisory deacons are deacons who have retired as active deacons, but they serve as counselors and advisors in the church. They've served many years as active deacons and have a wealth of knowledge and experience from which we can draw. We have two advisory deacons in our fellowship, and I'm going to ask them to come and bring their wife with them, Vernal Addington and Anna Lou Addington, Bill Haley and Iola Haley. You can come stand with me too. I know, you know, not something you may want to do, but no, you don't wait. You just come right on. Vernal and Anna Lou Addington, Bill and Iola Haley, our advisory deacons. Our active deacons are those who serve in the eight areas of ministry that we've already noted, and I'm going to ask that they will come and stand with us here. Bring your wife if she's here with you. Phil and Debbie Browning. Some of our ladies are still working in extended session and nursery, and so they may not be here with us in worship. Bob and Janice Burnett. Dylan and Judy Cook. Mike and Nanette Dunn. Dick and Mary Howard. Rick and Levisa Howard. Larry and Krista Keith. Dub and Carol Mooneyham, Charles and Lynette Stice. These are our active deacons. There you go. Okay. Come on up. Our associate deacons are the men that have been selected by this church and approved by the leadership, trained by the pastor and the deacons, and ordained today to serve as active deacons. And we'll ask that they'll come and stand in front of this group here. Gentlemen, if you'll just kind of stand behind your wife. Phil, leave my wife alone. Is your mother here? You need to talk to your son this afternoon. Tom and Ozima Bell. Steve and Vicki Brock. Gary and Joanne Gassaway. Mike and Catherine Pish. Glenn and Maria Swartzenbach. What we want to do is we want to acknowledge these men and their wives for the call that God has placed upon them to serve you as servant leaders in the fellowship. But we also want to do as the Bible has patterned before us, and that is to pray for them by the laying on of hands, to pray with them, and to encourage the church to stand and to pray and support in the work that you have entrusted them to do. And so I'm going to ask these men, do you, Tom Bell, Steve Brock, Gary Gassaway, Mike Pish, and Glenn Swartzenbach, commit to the ministry to which you are called, seeking always to bring honor to the name of Jesus Christ as your Lord? And do you commit to diligently and faithfully perform the duties of a deacon in the fellowship of the First Southern Baptist Church of Winton, with no thought of personal reward or honor, having as your primary motive the sharing of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and the building up of his fellowship through dedication to personal spiritual growth and ministry, inspirational leadership, loyal service, faithful stewardship, and joyful fellowship, all to the honor and the glory of Jesus Christ? Will the church membership please stand? Do you, members of the First Southern Baptist Church of Winton, acknowledge and approve Tom Bell, Steve Brock, Gary Gassaway, Mike Pish, and Glenn Swartzenbach as servants of the Lord Jesus Christ and deacons in this fellowship? And will you support them as they carry out their responsibilities? Will you pray for them in the ministry and in the work that you have assigned to them to accomplish the mission of this church, giving them all due honor and support in their leadership to which the Lord has called them, to the honor and the glory of Jesus Christ? And in so doing, I would ask that you join with us in prayer. And I'm going to ask that these five men will kneel before us, and all of the other deacons will join around us as we lay hands, as the scripture has said, lay hands upon them and pray that God will continue to anoint them with the Holy Spirit of God to carry out the work that he has called them to do. And you join with us as we pray together. Father in heaven, we acknowledge today the calling of Jesus Christ upon the lives of these men. We ask, Lord God, the anointing of your Holy Spirit to fill each and every one of them completely full with the power and the presence of the Lord Jesus. God, we ask that as they consecrate themselves today, and as we consecrate them into your service, that you will lift them up. Father, that you will give them a bold heart, give them a strong spirit, give them wisdom and understanding to lead the fellowship to accomplish all that you desire this church to accomplish in this community. Father, we know that their task, their responsibilities will be great. But we know, Lord God, greater is he who is in them than the task that they will be performing in the world. They can trust and depend upon you to lead them. We know the days ahead will be difficult and challenging, but we know the days ahead will be fraught with victory and with joy. We ask, Lord God, that as we experience these things, we'll experience them together as brothers and sisters in Christ. And that, Lord God, the fellowship of this church will look to these men and, Father, to their constituents who are already serving as deacons, to honor them, to follow their leadership, to pray for them, to encourage them, to support them in all that they do. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen and amen. God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I present to you our deacons and their families who have been set aside, who have been called, and now who are committed to serve you as servant leaders in this church. God bless you. We look forward to great days ahead as these individuals begin their work and as they continue on their work to bring honor and glory to the name of Jesus Christ and to the building up of the fellowship of his body here in Winton. Let's pray together, and then I want you to come and congratulate these guys. If you will take your wives and stand down here in front. And Chuck, we have Bibles to present to them as well as their ordination certificates. And gentlemen, if you haven't signed the ordination certificates, they're here on the Lord's Supper table, and you can certainly do so as you pass by. Let's all join together in prayer, and then I want you to come by, and I want you to greet these individuals and encourage them with your support and with your prayer. Father, thank you. Thank you for all that you do in the fellowship of the church to bring honor and glory to your name. Thank you for these men. Thank you for their wives. Thank you, Father, for their commitment to Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for their devotion to spiritual growth and development. Thank you for their willingness to work, to serve, to lead, to build up the fellowship of this church. And now, Father, I pray that through this service today and the acknowledgement of these individuals, you will continue to bring unity to the fellowship, strength into the body of Christ. And that, Lord God, we will see the Spirit of God use these men and their wives to reach this community, to continue to lift up the name of Jesus and to bring honor and glory to his kingdom. These things we ask in your holy and in your precious name. Amen and amen. God bless you. Come and greet these individuals. And the Lord, thank you. And we are dismissed. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we invite you to call on him now and through a simple prayer of faith, give your life to him. If you're not attending a church that honors the Bible as the Word of God, we encourage you to locate and begin attending such a church in the area where you live. The message you have just heard was preached from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. For more information on the ministry of First Baptist Church, Winton, please visit our website at wintonchurch.org.